2:15 in the afternoon, Macklin was sipping a Kettle One martini with a twist at a sports bar on Huntington Avenue. He was wearing baggy olive linen slacks with three reverse pleats, a loose-fitting black silk t-shirt, and alligator loafers with no socks. In his wallet, he had 10 $100 bills from Faye's savings account. In his pants pocket, he had $100 and $20 left from the liquor store. There were four people besides Macklin in the room. A man and a woman at a table eating buffalo wings, and a white-haired man down the bar watching the soccer game that was on every big-screen television in the room. The bartender was slicing lemons. "Quiet afternoon," Macklin said. "Usually is," bartender said, "this time on a weekday." He was a middle-sized young man with a thick mustache. "Soccer don't help," Macklin said. "Some people like it, can't get into it myself." "What do you like?" "Football." "Now you're talking. You bet?" "Sure. Last year I was up about $1.5 billion. He finished slicing the lemons and put them in a jar and put the jar in the refrigerator under the counter. Then he came down the bar and nodded at Macklin's glass. "Buy you one?" he said. "Be a fool not to say yes," Macklin answered. The bartender scooped some ice into a shaker. Without measuring, he poured in vodka and a splash of vermouth. Macklin said, "You must know the game. Come out ahead." Bartender rattled the martini around in the shaker and then poured it through the strainer into a chilled glass. "I played some in high school, and I pay attention." He ran a twist of lemon around the rim of the glass and then dropped it into the martini. "Makes the game more interesting," Macklin said. "You got something on it." "Got that right." Macklin sipped his second martini. "Nice job," he said to the bartender. The bartender grinned and went down the bar to the white-haired man. Macklin took the $100 from his pocket and put it on the bar. The bartender poured a double shot of Jack Daniels over some ice and put it on a paper napkin in front of the man. Then he strolled back up the bar to Macklin. He gave no indication that he saw the $100. Macklin said, "I'm from out of town, and I'm bored. You know where I could find a card game?"
"Where are you from?"
"Dannemora, New York."
"And you want to play poker?"
"Yeah. Good game. Some money changing hands, you know."
"Sure. Let me make a call."
The bartender went down the bar and punched out a number on the phone. He talked for a moment, then hung up and walked back down to Macklin.
"You know the Lincolnshire Hotel?" Macklin shook his head. "You can walk there. You call Tommy King from the lobby. Tell him Lenny Seltzer sent you. They'll tell you the room number and up you go."
"You Lenny?"
"No, Lenny's the guy I called."
"Excellent. How do I get there?" He finished his second martini while the bartender gave him directions. Then he got up, left the $100 on the bar, and headed for the door.
"Wish me luck," he said.
The bartender gave him a thumbs up, and Macklin went out onto Huntington Avenue and walked to the Copley Place garage where he had parked his car. He took the $1,000 from his wallet and crumpled the bills and put them in his right-hand pants pocket. Inside the car, he unlocked the glove compartment and took out his 9mm pistol. He undid his pants. Instead of shorts, he was wearing an oversized jock with a cup. He shoved the pistol down inside the cup. He took a roll of adhesive tape from the glove compartment, tore off some, and taped the handle of the gun against his belly well below the navel. Then he got out, tucked in his shirt, and buttoned his pants. He locked the car and cut through Copley Place on his way to the hotel. He paused outside a leather goods store and looked at himself reflected in the dark glass of the display window. The gun didn't show, just as it hadn't shown when he rehearsed this morning. It was a perfect summer day in Boston as Macklin strolled through the Back Bay. He didn't need the directions. He knew where the Lincolnshire was. Inside the ornate lobby, he called Tommy King on an ivory house phone.
"Name's Hoyle," Macklin said. "Lenny Seltzer sent me."
"Room 418.
"I'll be up," Macklin said. The elevator smelled of lilacs. The corridor was done in dark red carpet and ivory woodwork. The numbers on the doors were done in gold. At room 418, Macklin stopped. The emergency exit was two doors beyond, out the door and turn left. He rang the little illuminated bell beside the door. When the door opened, he stepped into a small foyer. Room 418 was in fact a two-bedroom suite. In the foyer with him was a big man with thick hands.
Mr. Hoyle?
That's me, Macklin said.
Sorry, sir, but I'll have to pat you down. Just routine.
A short, plump man in a white silk shirt was standing behind the big man. He had thin black hair plastered against his balding skull.
Sergeant Foss is an off-duty police officer, the plump man said, just to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Excellent, Macklin said. Makes me feel safe. He spread his arms and stood straight while Sergeant Foss ran his hands under each arm, down each side, around Macklin's belt line and down each leg. Sergeant Foss was assiduous, as Macklin knew he would be, in avoiding Macklin's crotch. When he was through, Sergeant Foss stepped back and nodded at the plump man.
I'm Tommy King, the plump man said. Come on in.
The game was in the living room. Five men at a round table with a sixth chair waiting for Macklin at the sixth spot. A blonde woman with prominent breasts and a short black dress was overseeing the buffet and bar that was set up at the far end of the living room.
Drink? King said.
I'll just take a beer, Macklin said.
Maybe a shrimp cocktail.
Fine, Tiffany will get it for you.
Macklin sat down. He took the $1,000 out of his pants pocket and put the bills on the table beside him without making much attempt to smooth them out.
The gentleman with the 5 o'clock shadow is Tony, my dealer.
Macklin nodded at him.
The rest will introduce themselves, King said.
Bill, the first player said, and they went around the table.
Chuck.
Mel.
John.
Sully.
Macklin smiled and nodded. Tiffany brought him beer and shrimp cocktail and managed to rub one of her breasts against him as she did so.
5-card draw, Tony said. Jack's a better, $100 minimum.
Macklin nodded and put his $100 in the pot. Tony began to deal. He was thin, with dense black hair that waved straight back. The cards seemed to move about in his thin hands as if they were alive. Macklin got a pair of threes. Chuck opened. Macklin drew 3 cards. It didn't improve his threes. He dropped out. Chuck won with 3 queens. Tiffany made sure everyone had what they needed in food and drink. And she made sure that she rubbed her chest against all the players but Tony. Tony neither ate nor drank. Sergeant Voss leaned on the wall in the foyer. Occasionally, Tommy King sat in for Tony. Macklin was a competent card player, but it didn't interest him. Gambling was for losers. There were better ways to make money. And there were better ways to lose it. Like women. Macklin played hard enough to make it seem he was trying and kept close track of the amount of money that was moving across the table. After an hour and a half, Macklin was down $200.
Excuse me a minute, he said. Damn beer. You don't drink it. You rent it.
He stood and walked through a bedroom into the bath and closed the door and locked it. Then he unbuttoned his pants, pulled the tape off the gun butt, and took the pistol out of his protector. He put the pistol down on top of the toilet tank and took the occasion to urinate. Make it authentic. Then he zipped up, washed his hands, dried them on a towel, picked up the pistol, cocked it, and went back through the bedroom. He took a pillow off the bed and shook the pillowcase loose. Carrying it in his left hand with the 9mm in his right, he went into the poker room. The first thing he did as he stepped through the bedroom door was to shoot Sergeant Voss in the middle of the chest. Voss grunted and fell on his left side and twitched a couple of times and was still. It took the starch out of everyone else in the room. Macklin waved the gun gently toward the poker players. Tiffany began to cry softly. Macklin ignored her.
Any one of you can be next, unless I get all the money.
Nobody spoke.
Everybody clasped their hands behind their head.
They did as they were told.
No problem, Tommy said. You'll get your money.
This is true, Macklin said.
Now, one by one, starting with you, Tommy, get up, empty your pockets into the pillowcase, and then lie face down on the floor. He gestured with the gun barrel. Right there.
After all the men had done as they were told, Macklin picked up the money on the table and handed it to Tiffany.
Hold that, he said.
Then he surveyed the room.
In a minute, I'm going to search you, one at a time. If I find you held out on me, I'm going to shoot you in the back of the head. He paused a moment. Anybody got anything to declare? Nobody moved. Macklin grinned. Okay, I believe you. Come on, Tiffany. He took hold of her wrist and led her past the dead man in the foyer and out the front door. Turn left, two doors down, into the emergency stairwell. Tiffany was still crying. He let go of her. I left you behind. They'd have taken the money away from you, he said. Now you're on your own. And he left her clutching the table stakes and sniveling, and he ran down the four flights. At the bottom, he took the gun off cock, dropped it in the pillowcase, and went out the emergency door onto the street.